Will the House please come to order? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Berger. Blake. Flickery. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Berger. Carson. Connolly. Harshman. 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 57 present, 2 excused, 1 absent.
The prayer today is given by Pastor Galen Huck, representing Cheyenne Hills Church. Pastor Huck.
Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you again for another day, just a beautiful day, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, I was yesterday humbly reminded by the power that we have in our words, that these words have meaning and they have power. They have a heightened meaning and a heightened power in this chamber. And that's humbling. Lord, I also was reminded in St. Matthew what you said about words, that I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that has been spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. And Father, I just ask you this morning on behalf of the people of Wyoming, that wise words would be penned and would be rooted and be established. Lord, that foolish words would be exposed and they would find no traction. Lord, for these dear people that have to make the decisions, that have to discern, I ask for discernment, to discern between wise words and foolish words. I pray for your grace in those decisions. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Appreciate it. How are you?
Thank you.
Hi, Patty. Nice to be with you. Okay.
God bless. Thank you. Will the House please come to order? Representative Esquivel, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the north balcony today, we have Mr. Hardigan's fifth grade class from Henderson Elementary.
Welcome to the House of Representatives, fifth graders. Nice to see you. Representative Harshman, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to inform the folks back home or listen that Z. Harsh is here, and I've been doing important work for the state, and I'm sorry I'm late. Won't happen again. It won't happen again, Mr. Speaker. 1,000 apologies, my liege.
I'm sure it won't happen again, Representative Harshman. If I had comfort in those words, as Pastor Huck just described today, the difference between the never mind. Is there anyone else who would like to be recognized? Okay. Journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 17, 2010 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Hey, the doctor of the day is Dr. Bahis Osbay from UW Family Medicine in Cheyenne. Good morning, Dr. Osbay. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 97, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, no, Stewart, excused, Phelps, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 111, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, excused, Phelps, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 15.
House Bill 15, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to electrical safety and fire prevention.
House Bill 15 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 18.
House Bill 18, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding aquatic invasive species.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment to House Bill 18. Ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm attempting to do here and ask for your aye vote is to establish some legislative intent with this bill, recognizing early on our federal partner as we walk down the aisle here and try and establish some duty, if you will, that of course our federal storage systems in our state will benefit from the state's efforts to prevent the spread of this species in the bodies of the state. And hopefully we can pry loose some of the dollars out of their checkbook as we begin this program that will surely have benefit to our state. And I would stand for questions.
Does anyone wish to speak on the amendment, Representative Brown?
Mr. Speaker, I consider this a friendly amendment and would urge your adoption.
Anyone else on the amendment? We are voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Motion amendment carries. Representative Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 18. Ladies and gentlemen, this has to do with the permit that was a sticker that's going to be required to be fastened to watercraft. And I can see the importance and necessity of that for out-of-state boats. However, until such time as these aquatic invasive species become established in the waters of this state, I thought that it would be beneficial for the residents of this state to only have to pay those fees and get a license renewal every 5 years. I thought it was still important to do that at some periodic time just because of the educational component that the sponsors of this bill had talked about.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, the problem with this amendment is that we're going to have an ongoing program, and one breach is all that it takes. And it and so I appreciate the bringer of the amendment, but it's really in the best interest of the people of this state that invasive aquatic species do not get in our water. That means that on a continuing basis, not once every 5 years, but on a continuing basis, we have to have boat inspections, decontamination, and all the stuff that comes with this bill. And believe me, I'm no great fan of this. If I could figure out a better way, I would, but I don't know a better way. And if you think about the water and what we're trying to protect here, there's really no rationale for saying that our state residents ought to be exempted and only buy a sticker every 5 years when we have to run the program every year, and we have to have an inspector there every time that person with that sticker shows up and wants to launch his watercraft. So I would urge that you defeat this amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good amendment. Appreciate your support. And really think about what this bill does. Folks, you think that every boat that gets in the waters of this state is going to be inspected? You're kidding yourself. That there isn't enough manpower. I mean, I talked yesterday how 50% of us work for the state. The other 50% of us would have to also join the state to accomplish this. Most of the good from this legislation is going to be through public awareness, putting signage up, distributing pamphlets. They're not going to be folks inspecting every boat and doing most of us. The good work of our own people and the wisdom and good-heartedness of boaters in and out of state. This is an out-of-state issue that's going to be brought into the headwaters of our state. And I tell you, I commend the bringer of this amendment, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, speaking on and against the amendment, to me, the amendment still doesn't take care of the issue of boats that are leaving the state. I mean, it's just a sticker that renews. If you have a sticker every year, that's a good way to at least determine that, in other words, inspect it, know that you don't have a problem. We're not trying to pick on anybody. Lord, it'd be nice if we didn't even have to do this, as the good representative from the southern part of the state says. But I would have to go with the good gentleman that carried the bill and tell you no, don't support it.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too will have to speak against this amendment. Of course, where we're adding this language is into the same paragraph where we're asking our agency that they will establish fees, of course, to the extent practicable, that the revenue generated from the fees collected approximate but does not exceed the direct and indirect costs of administering this program. Now, by fiddling around with additional language in that paragraph, we will hamstring our agency in their abilities to generate revenues sufficient to administer this program. And I would maintain that an unintended consequence of this would merely mean additional general fund revenues that we would ultimately have to cough up. So, again, speaking against.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, rise in opposition to the amendment, and for this reason, with this bill, the state of Wyoming hopes to go on offense. We plan to go on offense, and with the aquatic invasive species, it is much more difficult and much more costly to play defense. It's been said that we need to fund information materials and get information out to the voters of this state. That's exactly what that $10 sticker does. It provides the ability to provide outreach to everyone in the state as a large part of what the funds will do. Please vote against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Representative Harshman.
I didn't know, Mr. Speaker, that it was a $10 sticker. I think that will be determined later. I think the projections in the fiscal note were a $30 in-state sticker and a $64 out-of-state sticker. That's how the fiscal note. As far as funding this program, we've already funded it, generally funded. We've jumped the money in right now into the general fund. So that's, I think, a non-issue. The idea is, and read this amendment closely, most of our in-state voters never leave the state. I have a boat. I've never left the state. It's 22 miles to the boat dock at Alcova from my garage. Many of the guys who are drift boat guys are all in the state. Very conscientious people. They do the right thing on the waters. 99% of the people are like that, and you won't pass a law. So why put this burden on an in-state person who's paying their taxes, doing the right thing anyway, to say that we're going to fund this program with fees? It isn't going to happen. The fee structure will have to be probably $70 in-state, $200-$300 out-of-state to fully fund us. That just isn't going to happen. And give the in-state guy a break who's doing the right thing anyway. This is an out-of-state issue that we're concerned about coming into our state. And let's put the emphasis and the cost where it truly belongs. Again, I applaud the bringer of the amendment. And you know, this bill, and you're hearing from all the folks on their committee, and they should advocate for it. I tell you, this bill has like 8 second reading amendments, so we're trying to fix it. You know, when this bill hit the floor, it never even said that there was watercraft even mentioned. We thought the sticker maybe went on the left tire of the truck pulling something. I don't know. So it's been a work in progress. I think the good representative from the northern part of state brings a good amendment to make this bill better, and it needs some more work, and so I'm sure we'll have some more on third reading. So, again, urge your support. Appreciate the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, members of the 60th, I think you need to ask yourself this question. While the good representative from Casper, his boat never leaves the state, I know there's lots of boats that do leave the state, and I think all of us in here know that there are boats that leave the state, and the inspection process has to be to get rid of the species or prevent the species from coming, and I'd love to give the in-state people a break. No problem with that, but think about it. Those boats that leave the state that could pick up the species, they need to be inspected. On and against.
Representative Brown, for your second time.
Mr. Speaker, this is about in-state people. It's not about out-of-state boaters. It's about boating. And the fundamental problem here is boating. If we just barred boating, we probably could stop worrying about this problem. That's impractical, and I wouldn't even suggest it. But it does illustrate the far end of the spectrum or the bell curve. So if it's about our in-state people, then let's take care of our in-state people. And let's let those who use the waters pay the freight. Now, if those invasive aquatic species get into a body of water in this state, everybody's going to pay, including those boaters. They're going to pay. They're going to pay more than this prevention program costs. It's going to come by indirect means, but it's going to come in their city budget, their county budget, their state, their taxes, the benefits they get from state government. It's all going to be impacted by the cost that will be incurred in dealing with these. That's what we're trying to avoid. And the way we're trying to avoid it is stop the source and the source's boats. And we've got to be there every day of every year doing the best job we can. And I agree, there are going to be some who that probably get in the water. But it's an educational process. And believe me, those that get in the water without a sticker will get educated. And that's the best that we can do. Now, we took quite a bit of heat. I just find this a little ironic. We took quite a bit of heat in the Appropriations Committee about making this a self-funded program. And we argued against that, and we said we can't set the fees high enough to do this. There has to be general fund money in it, and it benefits the general fund, because if we can keep these species out, the general fund will be better off, and that benefits all the people in this state. So we take heat on the one side that we can't figure out a way to make a self-sustaining program. Then we take heat on the other side and say, well, let all the in-state people off, and do everything you can to the out-of-state people. We're trying to balance that. And on balance, this just doesn't make good sense. And I can't say that we ought to exempt somebody from a fee except once every 5 years when we've got to inspect their boat every day, just like the out-of-staters. So please defeat this amendment.
Chairman Landon, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I kind of like the discussion that went on a little bit yesterday on some other bills, and it kind of came down to, when everything else fails, read the instructions. The addressing the concern about people that take their boat outside of the state and then come back and use the state, residents who would do that, this amendment does not pertain to them. It says specifically that these are watercraft that belong to the state. Residents of the state operated solely within the waters of the state. So that's not an issue. This just concerns people who use their watercraft within the state. Concerning the part about the annual inspection for the invasive species, I can just imagine this provision is void the first time we see an aquatic invasive species in the state. This paragraph is void. It says, until such time when aquatic invasive species become established in the state. That's going to be a big headline. And so I can't imagine that would be a provision. What I'm thinking about is when I go home, my constituents are going to ask me, what? I have to get my boat inspected to go out to the lake, and we know there's no invasive species out there. And why do I have to do this year after year? It seems like an irrational action until such time as there would be that species within the state, and then you can justify going out and having the inspection. Concerning the fee to support the program, it's curious to me that we would put this on the back of boat users, and when the fee actually might be better borne by those districts and those infrastructure-type districts that this would most affect, that they should be contributing something to this too. And I wouldn't go along with that argument that this should solely be borne by boat users. So I think that the provision is in there that when there are aquatic species in the state, that yes, annual stickers are required, but the sticker is just an irrational action for those who do not use their boats in waters that have invasive species, and which is what we want to preserve as long as possible. So on and for the amendment.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. In the spirit of goodwill and compromise, I move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 18. Ladies and gentlemen, essentially what I'm attempting to try to do is deal with what is not the fundamental problem. the good sponsor said just in his previous statement that the fundamental problem is boating. And this doesn't deal with boating. This deals with all other things that are not propelled by a motor, which would be rafts, inner tubes, homemade rafts, canoes, kayaks, things like that. The thing that I'm struggling with is it pastime in my community is a lot of people like to float their little raft or their little canoe down the North Platte River. And the way this bill is currently written, you would have to be subject to purchasing that sticker to do that. And I think that's onerous. I don't think they're posing any risk to anyone. I realize that this opens the door to people coming out of state with those things. But we learned when I was touring the lower Colorado River that as these boats dry out, there's really no risk involved. And most of the time, I think the risk is very minimal in this case. We're not exempting the exemption that currently exists in the bill the way it's written now. You can have personal flotation devices like those people that go out and fly fish. You've seen those things that wrap around them. Those are currently exempted, and I think those really cause a greater risk than people floating their little rafts or kayaks down our waterways. So I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
Does anyone wish to speak on the amendment? Representative Stebson.
Mr. Speaker, and just a question, I guess, for the sponsor. In looking through this, it does look like it could include not only little rafts and little canoes, but also very big sailboats. And, I mean, I've seen some pretty significant wind-powered vessels that come into this state that we would want to get checked. And is that wrapped into this amendment or not?
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the way it's written is kind of odd, that if you tie an inner tube onto the end of a boat with a rope, it's covered in this. I'm not sure that's what we were looking for.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would urge that you defeat this amendment again. I think the sailboat question is excellent. We're also talking about canoes and kayaks. Very mobile, easy to transport. These things can adhere to the surfaces on those. Therefore, we've got to run a program that takes those into account. And are we going to catch every person that goes down to the riverbank and throws something in the river? No, we aren't. But we need to do the best we can. We need to be as inclusive as we can with respect to the danger, the evil that we're trying to address. And the evil that we're trying to address is transportation of these organisms into our state and having them introduced into our waters. And these kind of exemptions are just blind to the evil. And when you look at the evil, they can be transported on those kind of vessels as well as any other. And so I'd urge you to defeat the amendment.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also urge you to defeat this. If you flip to amendment number 6, I'll ask you to support that one. But I think what they're referring that relates to this, I think what we're referring to in personal flotation device is a life jacket, not a raft, as it's commonly referred. And those are regulated by a federal agency. And so this is evil.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Representative Teeters.
Well, I apologize to the body, Mr. Speaker, for being evil. I didn't realize that me protecting my constituents from the overreaching hand of the state is evil somehow. But I don't see this as a big deal. If we have a concern about sailboats, I'd be happy to bring a third reading amendment. That was not my intention. I would ask you to pass this amendment. It sends the message that we're still looking out for the folks at home. We don't want to incriminate an innumerable amount of people because of allowing this to go through. And I would also like to point out to the body that this addition in the Committee of the Whole Amendment was added without any discussion through the committee process, and it was done without any discussion here on the floor. So it was obviously ratcheted up in a very evil way, in which I would say without a lot of debate or input. So, oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I just was given a note. This is human effort, not wind. So it wouldn't even include sailboats. I would urge you to adopt the amendment.
The word evil is hereby barred from the floor for the rest of the day. We are voting on third reading amendment number three, second reading amendment number three to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number three is failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. Representative Lebnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move nefarious amendment number four to House Bill, second reading amendment number four to House Bill 18, and ask for your favorable consideration. Let me track you through the amendment and what it does. It's an attempt to clear up language and maybe some mischief. The first amendment is page 4, line 1, and it says that that section says that you can't possess, import, or have an invasive species, but it doesn't say in this state. So I just added in this state. Then in page 4, line 11 and page 4, line 12, it says, a person who knows that an aquatic invasive species is present at a specified location shall immediately report. And I added an unreported aquatic invasive species and at a specific location in this state so that everybody isn't burdened with reporting all the time for every, and it's a crime for not reporting invasive species that everybody knows about. On page 5, line 22, it says that the commission may restrict watercraft usage on the waters of this state as provided in 41.13.211b in order to carry out the provisions of this article. And I didn't think that was specific enough. If we're going to empower the Parks and Recreation Commission to shut down our lakes, I think they have to make a specific finding. And so I said, upon a finding that a specific body of water is threatened with imminent introduction of an aquatic invasive species, so that it's just not a broad, willy-nilly approach to things. Then on page 5, line 7, or page 5, or page 7, I'm sorry, line 6, 8, and 10, and 12, that's the situation where the peace officer can impound and quarantine your boat. And so what I said, here's the situation I was afraid of. And by deleting Romanet 2 on page 7, if somebody comes to the Wyoming state line and there's a boat inspection station, and you have to stop and have your boat inspected, if he turns around and goes back to Colorado and says, I'm leaving, I'm not coming to your silly lake. Two things happen. There's more room at the lake. And I don't think we should have to impound his boat because he refused to have his boat inspected by turning around and leaving the station. But this says that that can happen. And then I wanted to increase the burden of the state because it seems to me that the state shouldn't be able to take your boat unless they have real good reason. And so I said, number one, that there's an aquatic invasive species present after conducting an inspection, and that the person transporting the conveyance refused to clean the boat, then you should have your boat taken away. And so that's what the effect of all of the amendments are, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, move for a division of this amendment as follows. Lines 1 through 7 would be division 1. Lines 8 through 15 would be division 2. And lines 16 through 21 would be division 3.
The amendment is divisible. And we are, which division would you like to address first? We are on division 1, which is lines 1 through 7. Division 2 are lines 8 through 15, and Division 3 are lines 16 through 21. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, as to Division 1, I consider that a friendly amendment, and would not object to it.
Does anyone else wish to speak on Division 1? Question being called on Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division Number 1 is passed. Representative Brown, Division 2.
As to Division 2, Mr. Speaker, that says that the Commission may restrict watercraft usage in the waters of the state as provided in 41.13.211b says no person shall operate a watercraft on any water or water area which has been designated in accordance with the Commission regulation as a restricted area. This section, so that's really the question, is about a restricted area. Now, this would say that they can, that the Commission cannot restrict the operation of watercraft on a body of water except upon a finding that the specific body of water is threatened with imminent introduction. Well, that wasn't the purpose of this section. The reason this section is in there is so that if we get an infected body of water in the state, the restriction or the commission can restrict or prohibit boating in that body of water. And they need to have that ability to do that. So if we get one isolated area in the state someplace, it's not whether there's an imminent finding, but they need this authority. So if we have one infected, isolated body of water somewhere in the state, and it's the appropriate thing to do, the commission can simply restrict boating in that body of water and keep boats out of it. So for that reason, I would resist this amendment and urge you to leave the language in the bill as it is.
Representative Lebnow.
Mr. Speaker, I would move to amend my amendment.
What is the motion?
I would move on the amendment on line 12, after the language existing, add, or an aquatic invasive species has been introduced.
Yeah, I find that out of order. You can only make technical corrections to amendments on the floor. Would you like to address Division 2 otherwise?
No, Mr. Speaker. I'll bring a third reading amendment. I do think your interpretation on the rules is wrong, but it's not worth fighting over. Since this is also your amendment.
I move to strike my name from the amendment. I take that back. All right, anyone else for the first time on Division 2? Representative Brown, do you want a second time, please?
Mr. Speaker, if a third amendment or a third reading amendment were brought that had the language proposed just proposed, I would consider that to be a friendly amendment.
Thank you. We are voting on Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no?
No.
Division 2 has failed. Division 3, Representative Brown. Well, Representative Love, now you may proceed on Division 3 for your first time.
I have nothing to say for my first time.
Thank you. Representative Brown. Would you like to take the same position? No, go ahead, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge that you defeat Division 3 of this amendment. It would strike the language that says a peace officer may impound and quarantine a conveyance if he finds that an aquatic invasive species is present after conducting an inspection by this section, and the person transporting refuses to submit to an inspection as authorized by this section. Well, how would that happen? That boat could be coming from a known infected waterway. I think under those circumstances, the peace officer could find that an aquatic invasive species is present, and I just can't understand why we'd have any trouble saying under those circumstances, if the person refuses to have their boat inspected, he can impound the boat. Now, is he going to take the boat and ruin the whole 4th of July weekend? No. But impoundment means he can pull that boat out of line and set it aside and say, look, until you either submit to a comprehensive inspection of this boat and decontamination, which is the second part of this, so they're not trying to strike, until you're willing to do that, the boat is not going in the water. It's your choice. The guy can turn around and leave and probably go find an illegal place and launch the boat. I hope not. But that is a scenario that this is trying to address, is that under the circumstances where there's a finding that there's an aquatic invasive species present and a full inspection of the boat is not permitted by the owner, that we can have an impoundment of that boat. And so what I would urge you to defeat this third part of the amendment.
Representative Love now.
Mr. Speaker, I do have something to say. Now, read the language. It says a peace officer may impound and quarantine a conveyance if the person transporting the conveyance refuses to submit to an inspection authorized by this section. That allows them, if you just say, I'm turning around and going home, I'm not going to the lake, for them to take your boat away, and I don't think that's right.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Brown?
Mr. Speaker, all I'd say is I don't think it involves taking their boat away. I think that's really a loose use of the language. But they ought to be able to impound that boat and restrict what can be done with it until either an inspection's allowed, decontamination's allowed if it's appropriate, or the boat is set long enough that we know for a fact that it's no longer a threat. You know what's going through my mind is maybe there's marijuana on the boat. Maybe that's why they don't want an inspection. Well, that's fine. If they don't want an inspection, I guess they don't have to have one, but there's reason to impound that boat. And so if they refuse to allow an inspection, we ought to have the ability to impound that boat. And that's a lot more likely scenario than just saying, well, I just got mad at you and took your boat away. So I would urge you to defeat Division 3 of the amendment.
We're voting on Division 3 of Second Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 3 has failed. Representative Love now.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Third Reading Amendment Number 5 to House Bill 18. This just deletes the ability of the Department of Parks and Cultural Resources to sue you for civil penalties. The state of Wyoming has a cause of action against anybody under at common law to sue people who damage our state. I just find it an overreaching of government to allow them to start suing people for civil penalties over and above their remedies that they have at law, and I urge you to remove this section from this bill.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, that's right. One of the interesting lawsuits that you see if you're in the trucking business and you cut corners and knock down guardrails is suits from the state of Wyoming to recover the cost of that guardrail. Those are pretty common. So if in the same vein, if somebody comes in here and violates this article, then should there be a cause of action to recover a civil penalty because of the violation? I think there should. I really thought there'd be a different kind of an amendment coming here, and I wouldn't resist an amendment on third reading that cut this thing down a little bit in terms of exactly what they can be sued for and exactly what kind of recovery can be had. But to say there's no recovery at all, especially if there's an egregious violation, it just goes to the general fund, the public fisc, I guess. And I would urge you to defeat this amendment, and I would urge the bringer to bring one on third reading that would say something to the effect, well, you can be sued for, if there's a violation, it can be sued for some proportionate cost of what it cost the department to administer it, not the entire thing, and with some more sideboards on it. I could certainly live with that, but I can't live with a total prohibition. So I would urge you to defeat this amendment and hope we'd see a third reading amendment that we could work with.
Chairman Gingrich.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to address the hypothetical that the previous speaker just used. He used the hypothetical of hitting a delineator post, I think, in an accident and getting civil penalty. That would be taken care of through restitution. So within the criminal case, restitution would pay for any damages. I would assume you could do that with this, too. I just thought it was an interesting hypothetical that you could actually accomplish all this through restitution, not through a civil penalty.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd be satisfied with an amendment that changed the section and specifically said that those costs are recoverable as restitution imposed by the court as a part of the criminal proceeding. That's the best way to collect them, and that would be a friendly amendment. But this one here, just totally eliminating it, I would urge you to defeat.
Representative Lebnow, second time. We are voting on second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 5 has failed. Representative Carson.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 6, second reading to House Bill 18, and ask for your favorable consideration. This clarifies something, inserts the word raft. To watercraft, I certainly am not going down the Grand Canyon in a watercraft. I'm going my raft. I think this will further benefit and clarify for this whole community of people. And trust me, there's a lot of people that leave, take the rafts out, keep them inflated, take them back into the state, in and out a lot. And I hope the bringer of this bill thinks it's a favorable amendment.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, it is a friendly amendment, and I would urge its adoption.
Anyone else on the amendment? We are voting on second reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 6 is passed. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 7, second reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 18. Folks, you read the amendment. It just simply says fees established under this subsection shall be established such that the annual fees imposed upon a non-resident shall be higher than the fees imposed upon a resident in a ratio that is at least as high as the average ratio between the costs of residents and non-residents of all hunting licenses set forth. It's an easy thing to figure. We're just going to take the average of what we do already with residents and non-residents. And I'd ask for your support. Any questions?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would urge that you defeat this amendment, and I'll tell you why. There's a lot of interstate boating that goes on, and in fact, that's the one thing that I think everybody, all these amendments have taken into account is interstate boating. We're going to see reciprocity, and by reciprocity, I mean you're going to see a rule in other states around us, the one south of us will do it in about a nanosecond, that says we're going to charge Wyoming residents a boating fee and an inspection fee in our state the same as they charge us in their state. So bear in mind, when you're doing this, just heap all the abuse on these guys that you want to, but we're going to get it back when we cross this, when our boaters cross the state line, we're going to get it fed right back to us. And I think that the proper place to gauge the degree of reciprocity and to gauge what we can do with other states and to gauge what's reasonable and what is just going to provoke a huge backlash from other states ought to lie with the commission. They talk to the other states all the time and know a lot more about this than we do. And I wish you'd leave it to the commission, defeat this amendment, and leave it to the commission through rulemaking to set appropriate fees.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we already do this. We already do this on the entrance fees to our state parks. We charge a greater amount for non-residents. We do this with hunting licenses, and this amendment pegs the differential to the differential on hunting licenses. So it's something we already do. It's going to be legal. And finally, I won't probably be going to the state to the south, so they can do whatever they want.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Representative Harshman.
I'm the last one.
You're the last one. Oh, excuse me, Representative Brown wants to speak again.
Just one more thought. There's a lake in this state that travels, actually there's more than one, I think, but there's one major lake. There's two, aren't there? Two major waterways in this state that straddle the state line. So, and they all boat in common out there, and you can bet your boots that that we're going to pay the same in their state that they're paying in our state. And it just, I think that the commission is much better equipped than us to figure out what the ratio ought to be. If we come back here in a year and we find out that they've been charging a ratio that's ridiculous, then I'll be leading the charge to mandate to the commission what ought to be done. But until then, until we see what they do, and I think there's some sort of implication here. There's not going to be a ratio like that, and I don't think we can say that. We don't know what the commission's going to do, but they're much better equipped than we are to gather the information and make the decision and mull over it and mull over it and do it right. And so I'd urge you to defeat this amendment and leave it to the rulemaking with the commission.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'm not talking about betting boots or nanoseconds. I just want to talk about the facts, about reciprocity and fees. You know, if that was the case, Wyoming now charges Colorado folks 13 times more than they do an in-state guy for a moose tag. Well, you'd think Colorado, with that argument, would have reciprocity. Colorado charges half that, 7-1. So this whole reciprocity business, I'm not buying it. This is an out-of-state issue, and I'm telling you that I don't like the 2-1 fee that was proposed. That's not right. We don't do it in any other form or in-state, out-of-state fees, and I think that's too low. This is an out-of-state issue. It's going to be brought into our state from out-of-staters, and most of the folks in Wyoming, it's not that issue, and we ought to put the cost where the problem is. And so I think, as was argued yesterday, the buck stops in this room, the rubber hits the road in this room, and we're the ones that can make the decision. And I'm standing up for the residents of this state. And I think that's very important. I urge your support of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 7 is passed. House Bill 18. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Madam Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, it truly is not often that I get to introduce someone from my hometown of Thermopolis, Wyoming, and I'd like you to welcome our mayor here today, Mr. Bill Malloy. He's up in the gallery. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Welcome, Mayor Malloy. Nice to have you here. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you come up to the desk, please? The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill 61, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to indigent civil legal services.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 61. Before explaining the bill or the amendment, I would like to draw your attention to the handout that you can kind of see this black pattern on it. It's two pages. And that's what I'm going to use to kind of explain the philosophy behind that. This is you can see in the middle of that page, it talks about the key findings and that the use of claims under this Medicaid program are 2.5 times higher for certain groups of individuals using emergency rooms than for other groups of individuals. And you look down on the chart that's below that, and you can see those covered by various insurance programs. The rate of use especially by the percentage overall rate of use, you can see how that varies depending on what kind of insurance program that they're involved in. Well, the correlation there is whether or not you're receiving something for free or whether or not you're paying something for your insurance. Things that are received for free, it's just kind of a natural tendency for people to overuse them. They just don't value them as much as something that they have to pay for. And so that is the philosophy then that I want to, with that type of background, let me explain the amendment. Basically, what we're doing here is we're asking the client who uses the services provided with this bill to contribute some themselves. There's no provision for those who are truly needy, who have below 100% poverty level. There's no asking them to contribute. But for those who go from 100 to 150% of poverty level, the amendment asks them to pay 10% of the legal fees up to $200, whichever is less. And for those who have an income that's between 151 and 200% of the federal poverty level, it's asking that they contribute more, 20% of the legal fees incurred, up to $500, whichever is less. The second page that I attached in the attachment is just kind of a spreadsheet to demonstrate discretionary income for people in various incomes, and I picked one here. This is a one-parent, two-children family, and when you look at annual net resources down at the bottom, that's sort of a summary of discretionary income if you subtract their income from, including benefits that they can receive from federal and state programs, from their expenses. They do have, there is some discretionary income that families have that increases as they, as their income increases. So I don't think this would be an extreme hardship to ask for a $200 payment maximum, for people who happen to be in that income level. Mr. Speaker, that pretty much summarizes the amendment.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to vote no on the amendment. It's a good idea, and I'm sure when they do their rules, they will include a sliding scale type system. That's how most legal aid already works anyway, where if your income's of a certain amount, there's a sliding scale. The difficulty with this amendment is it gets so specific. Maybe if there was a third reading amendment that just simply said within the rulemaking they will promulgate rules that provide for a sliding scale system. But by getting specific, here's the problem. There are some entities in the state that receive federal funding for legal aid. The feds have an entity called Legal Services Corporation. That federal agency gives money to certain Wyoming entities that provide legal aid. They have their own sliding scale system. Where my concern is, I don't know what their sliding scale system is, so I'm concerned that the feds would have their sliding scale system, we would have ours, and that would put this entity that is receiving both federal and state funds in a quandary as to which sliding scale they go with. So my only concern is this has gotten too specific. Perhaps a third reading amendment just simply saying that they will have a sliding scale system.
Representative Throne. Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I would ask you to resist this amendment and remember that many of our senior citizens are on fixed incomes that would utilize this type of service. Because they're on fixed incomes, their budgets are pretty well set for that month. In some cases, you would ask them to choose between maybe purchasing medication and paying a legal fee. In other instances, where we have families that are in families in need, they are also on a fixed type of income, and also again asking those maybe single parent mothers. whom this, I'm sure, is going to affect highly, asking them to make that decision of whether to buy a box of diapers that month or to pay these legal fees. I think the former speaker is correct. Allow the rules to promulgate a sliding scale. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I would just say that we need to resist this amendment. It's micromanaging at a level of without the full information, and would agree with the good chairman of Judiciary that perhaps this is a better issue for rulemaking. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time prior to the sponsor of the amendment? Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, I think the fact that there's federal monies involved in this program is kind of news to this representative anyway, and I'm not sure how it is to the rest of the group. I think we could always bring back another amendment that said if there was federal preemption on what the state could do, that that we would, of course, have to yield to that as much as that sort of issue has been talked about through other bills that we've had come through. This was a basically an attempt to make sure that people that use this do not overuse it, that it seemed like a kind of a filtering process and something that if they had to buy into it, that they would be more responsible in using it. And so we'll let the body decide from there. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 61, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 61 has failed. House Bill 61 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 67.
House Bill 67, introduced by Representative Yellaway, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding data processing center sales use tax exemption.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 67. This amendment is simple. It won't take as long as the last two bills. All it does is add the advantage of a sunset date that will occur 5 years out. And it's just based on my philosophy and a lot of others, I think, that it's just good business, smart business to, you know, review the data on a periodic basis, and a sunset automatically does this. You know, I think we need to understand just what a sunset date does do and what it doesn't do in these kind of situations. It's not very often, I don't remember of any time, when a sunset date is just allowed to expire. So I don't think that fear is founded. Normally what they do, just like we'll do with the manufacturing sunset date, the exemption for manufacturing equipment, is we'll look at it and see what the expense is and see if it needs to be slightly adjusted. And if it needs to be adjusted, that's kind of an automatic trigger point at which it can occur. Now, it is true you can do it any time. You don't need a sunset date to change something, but you lose that automatic, periodic audit that at least for the first cycle, I think, is important to recognize. And there are some parameters in this bill, as it's presented here, that may have to be looked at. As you know, when we discussed it yesterday, people who spend less than $2 million are not eligible for this tax benefit. You know, we don't know until after we've experienced 4 or 5 years whether or not we're cutting some smaller businesses off and just focusing on the mega businesses. And there's a $5 million minimum investment required. You know, that number may not be right. Anytime you put dollar figures in a bill, that calls for periodic reviews, I think. this bill, including the amendments, is ideally suited for a sunset. If you recall the standing committee amendments that we passed, it says the report shall evaluate the cumulative effects of each exemption that is in effect from initiation of the exemption and shall include. So anyway, there's a report there. All it is doing is begging for someone to evaluate it on a systematic basis. And then you look at the committee of the whole. It says that we're leaving it up to the business council to decide whether or not it's worthwhile or not. I think that's an abrogation of our responsibilities. That's a legislative judgment that needs to be called upon. And I don't think it's appropriate to have the size and stage of development of the data servicing center as determined by the Wyoming Business Council and just drop it without a sunset. So that's really about all I want to say. I'll leave it up to the judgment of the body to consider this amendment, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman Illawake.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I urge you to resist this amendment for several reasons. I mentioned yesterday, and it was kind of poo-pooed, that power companies go out a long ways to figure out what their power costs are. And I did check with the power company that would be supplying this. They have the new generation plant at the mine mouth. The only way they can determine whether they need to put in a new generation plant is to go out 15 or 20 years and take a look at what the power costs, what the growth of the communities are going to be, what's going to happen with new industries and so forth. So their comment was, yes, we do go out 15 or 20 years because, first of all, it takes us 5 years to permit a plant, 5 years to build it if you can do it. But that takes time, public opinion, and so forth, and that's why they go out 15 to 20 years. Now, these companies, and we have maybe one or two small data centers in Wyoming, but large data centers, and you might have seen something on the front page of the statewide newspaper this morning. I don't know anything about it except that's a huge undertaking. Those folks that are going to spend that amount of money want certainty or some type of certainty. And to put a sunset on refutes that certainty. Those people, if they're going to spend, I don't know, it said in that article that they were going to spend $700 or $800 million. They want better than saying a sunset in 5 years. And that's why I said yesterday that power costs are profiled out 15 to 20 years. We don't have these companies, these large data centers. We're trying to entice them. Right now, we're not getting anything because they're not here. But if they come, they're going to pay a lot of property tax. They're going to pay a lot of sales tax on the electricity they buy, plus the supplies they buy. We're just asking, don't put a sunset on to make a CEO look at it and say, they've got a five-year sunset. We don't know what they're going to do, so we'll go someplace else. I urge you to resist the amendment.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I certainly rise in support of this amendment. If we evaluate really what we're looking at here, if we put this sunset on in 2015, it really means that a body, some of us on this floor may be here in 2015 and look at it, It doesn't mean we're going to take and implement and stop this bill from going forward. This means that we'll have facts and figures to look at and evaluate the whole situation. If you travel back in 2005, when we stood on this floor, none of us, I think, had the idea that we'd be in the financial revenue posture the state of Wyoming is facing right now. We're in a cautionary mode, fiscal responsibility, and looking at the whole thing. In 5 years down the road with this bill, I think the same thing very well may apply. We have to scrutinize, look at the state's resources, and serve the people of Wyoming. You look at the power companies are in a flux right now. They don't know if they're going to convert from gas-fired generation to coal or coal to gas. They're going to be mandated by federal mandates with cap-and-trade legislation that may come into being, just what's going to happen. So 5 years, I think, is a prudent course for those of us in the state of Wyoming to look at this. Doesn't mean we're going to terminate them. Doesn't mean we're going to extend them. But we would certainly have close scrutiny of it, certainly rise in support of this amendment.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I myself feel that sunset is a good thing. But however, in this case, I urge you to resist this and vote this down. And the reason is, if you look at what we do here, we know how long it takes to build a power line. We know how long it takes to build a power plant. We have those in this state already. We have sunsets incorporated in anything we do with that. We have never been down this road in this state to this magnitude. What we're doing is saying, well, 5 years sounds like a good time. They may not even have all the bricks and mortar and all their equipment in there in 5 years. So we're tying their hands. We're actually telling them, don't come to Wyoming because they can get a better offer someplace else. I really urge you to resist this because we need to let this, we need to extend this out, see exactly how long this takes to build this, and then at that time we can evaluate where the sunset should properly be. Thank you.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just for information, you know, on and against or on and in favor of the amendment, Wyoming uses about 15 to 18% of the power it produces here. You have to remember that in this argument. But each year when I come down here, I hear more and more from my constituency about what are you going to do about the sales tax exemptions that we have in Wyoming statutes. If you look in Title 39, you will literally find pages of them. And I think our intention is maybe to do something about it each year. Pardon me. Not a year goes by that somebody doesn't bring something to eliminate a sales tax exemption, yet what we do is, and 1 year we had an individual bring a bill to look at every sales tax exemption every 3 years to determine if they really had validity. Just yesterday we had a former member of this body come in here, and I remember it clearly when he brought 17 bills right here at this podium. One of them survived. What he was trying to do was eliminate certain exemptions in the state, and that was in 1999 when things were tough. Excuse me, it was 2000 in the budget session when things were really tough. But quite frankly, we come in here annually and add one or two exemptions, generally for the purposes of economic development. And goodness knows, we all understand what that is. But, you know, to put a sunset on this is not going to tell somebody, you know, that we really don't want your business. What it says is that this body, this legislature, should look at these things periodically to review to see if they are doing what they were intended to do. It's our job to do that. It's called oversight. That's what legislatures do, and I think we should do it.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with the good sponsor, the sponsor of the bill, the good representative from Laramie County, to add a sunset date in 5 years as a practical matter goes beyond a sunset, I think, with the uncertainty that it injects. It becomes a deterrent to the type of large-scale investment contemplated in this bill. So I'm on and against the amendment in favor of House Bill 67 to incent economic development. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown.
Well, Madam Chairman, if I were a banker, which I am, it's one of my hats I wear, and one of these things is being financed, I'll tell you exactly what goes on. You submit a business plan to the bank. that's going to last at least as long as the financing and probably longer. And in that business plan, you project out everything, and it is scrutinized and scrutinized and scrutinized. And I will guarantee you, if there's a sunset on this tax and the statutes, that business plan will assume that the tax is going to go on at that point. So just bear that in mind. These projects have long-term financing. Then some of that's securitized into the bond market. It's all factored in for the length of the financing, whatever it may be. If the sunset falls short of the term of the financing, then that business plan will assume that the tax is going to be put in place on the date of the sunset.
For your second time, Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a few comments. We do have really a sunset on here because the Business Council, Department of Revenue report on or before December of each year. We passed a couple exemptions several years ago, one on a coal gasification plant. There's no sunset on that one. So it's not that we forget them. Sometimes we don't put them on for a specific reason. This was by design, not to have a sunset on here, but to use the Business Council in taking a look at what's going on. We don't have a company today as a large data center. So they're not here, and they're not paying property taxes, and they're not paying sales taxes. And the people that they've hired are not buying houses, and they're not paying sales tax. So if we put a sunset on and they decide not to come, we're not going to gather those property taxes and sales taxes and so forth. So I would urge you to resist this amendment, to defeat it. Let's not put a sunset on it. Let's see if people come. You can always pull back. But if they don't come, you're not going to get large property taxes and large amount of sales tax. If they do come, I think those taxes that we're going to get will offset anything that we have exempted. So on and against.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm not going to belabor the issue. I'm sure we all realize that if this is working well, the year prior to the sunset's expiration, there's no chance that this body would terminate it. And bankers know that. You and I know it. And I think you got to have faith in future legislators to do the right thing. They're going to be as interested in economic development and the same kind of things that we are. I'm for this exemption. I've signed on as a co-sponsor. I still maintain that it's prudent for us to take a look at it in a systematic fashion. It's nothing that's unprecedented. It's not a signal that we're only going to do it for 5 years by any means. And I will leave it up to the body at this time. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 67, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 67 has failed. Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. All those in favor, please stand. Excuse me. All those against, please stand. The amendment has failed. House Bill 67 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109. Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My great pleasure today to introduce to the body, may I have a privilege of the floor, Madam Chair.
Please proceed.
May I take just a moment to introduce the Mayor of Powell, who has joined us. I'm going to ask him to stand. He's combed his hair for us today. The Mayor of Powell, Scott Mangold.
Welcome. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109.
House Bill 109, introduced by Representative Hammonds, an act relating to compulsory school attendance.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109. And, Madam Chairman, I would first like to move to amend the amendment. I have a technical correction. On line 12, after the word with, we need to insert the word in. And I would call for the question on the amendment to the amendment.
You have heard the motion on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109, technical correction on line 12 of the amendment after the word with. Add the word in, so it would be child within a two-week period. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The amendment to the amendment carries. We are now back on the amendment as amended.
Thank you, Representative Teeters. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bring this amendment based on some conversation that we had in committee and also a question that came up on the floor on general file. And that is, what do you do with the situation where you have a child who wants to drop out and has refused to go to school, and you cannot identify where the parent is, or the parent just flat out refuses to come in and meet with a counselor? And essentially what this amendment does is it says that the board has an obligation to provide 3 notifications to the parent or guardian within a two-week period, and if that parent or guardian refuses to come in or fails to come in, and or the district is unable to find them, would also be the other possibility, I suppose, that the child is then allowed to go ahead and withdraw. If we don't pass this amendment, essentially we're going to create a situation where if you have a child who wants to drop out but their parent isn't around, or their parent refuses to participate, the parent then becomes in violation of state law because the child is truant. And I don't want to create that situation. I think we need some sort of out when we hit the wall, and I think this amendment provides that out.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I wish we had had that discussion before. I understand the issue, and actually, that problem is addressed by our law officers who are dealing with minors who do not have any supervision. And unfortunately, the amendment as it has been brought before us, House Bill 109 establishes that parents are the ones in control of a child, that they are the ones who will grant consent for dropping out. What this amendment says is, but you don't really have to do it. It completely negates the purpose of the bill. And I understand what the person proposing it wants to do, but in fact, there are some assumptions that he's making in the bill that I don't think that are really there. Let me read current law with regard to what happens for the duties of the attendance officers. It says, and this is 21-4-104A, subject to the policy of the Board of Trustees, it shall be the duty of each attendance officer to, little Romanet 1, counsel with students, parents, guardians, or custodians and teachers, and to investigate the causes of unexcused absences. That is the first step. And it's at that point that our attendance officers find out that this young person is living without parents or anyone in control of them. And then we have a whole separate issue about how you deal with those young people. And we have a system to deal with it. It's not contained in the school attendance policy. The other thing that it doesn't say that people are assuming is just because you meet with a school administrator or a counselor that it has to be at the school. It doesn't. It just has to be with them. And so those attendance officers go to the home, the registration home of where the kid lives, and they can meet with the parents or the whoever has the control of them, and they can get the signature right then. And so because this amendment basically negates the purpose and eliminates the purpose of the law, I would encourage you to not vote for it. And if you continue to have questions about these kids that are running around in our state who have no adult supervising them, then we need those of you who have worked as attorneys and dealt with these young people to talk about that, because that's a separate part of the law.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader, or Majority Floor Whip. I'm not sure I support this amendment, but the good chairman of education can correct me. But in my 22 years as a school board member, normally after 10 days, you drop a student. But prior to dropping that student, your policy, your school board policy, directs your administration to make those contacts much earlier. Before that 10-day drop, you would normally send out an attendance officer or a homeschool coordinator to make that contact with that parent, that student, or if they're under children in need of supervision or a ward of the court, you would make that contact much earlier. But that 10 days, I believe it's a benchmark out there. That's already in state statute or in school board policies that after 10 days we drop, regardless.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think I've probably already spoken my piece on this, but I will rise in support of the amendment. I don't know if none of you probably spent a huge amount of time, but I did make phone calls last night just to ask some educators in my community and those who are on the front lines dealing with this on a daily basis. And what I basically heard was, you've got to be kidding me. This is the last line of defense. And at this point, it's a defeatist bill because you are at the point where things have gone so very badly wrong. What I also heard was great concern about the issue of, you know, we do have here in my county, we do have the officers, and they do indeed go out to homes, and they do actually assess the student. Not all of them. It is definitely not even just district by district, but school by school, depending on how that works. And so I heard some different things from just depending on what school. They do go out, they assess, they work with the students. There are interventions that a lot of our schools use. Unfortunately, right now, some schools are actually deconstructing intervention, which I think is a much larger problem than this. This bill doesn't even address it. But their concern was also, you then get into the court system. You've got a school that's working on this problem. You've got dropout rates that are an issue. When you get to this point, parents are either not involved, don't want to be involved, are stand in the way, are a big problem. And you're now putting the school in a place where they're going to have to pursue it even further, overburden them, and quite frankly could well overburden our court system if you start dragging parents in. I think the amendment is a elegant at least compromise in saying that if the district has done as much due diligence as it possibly can, it puts them off the hook and it doesn't put them in a position where they're going to go even further. They're trying to get these kids a little closer, and that's where we should be concentrating our focus. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time, Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's interesting because for all of our different school districts, they follow the law, but how aggressively they pursue this is really local control. This is all about local control and how that local district chooses to handle it. And the amendment before us, again, and I don't want to take up any more time with this, basically says, here's a new law, but you don't really have to do it, parents. And I think that that defeats the purpose of the bill. And for that reason, I would really ask that you do not support the amendment as proposed.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I thought that the purpose of the bill was to get parents involved in this process. And I agree that parents should be involved in this process. If they refuse to be a part of this process, and that's what the bill does, even with the amendment, the parent is going to be notified and they're going to have the opportunity to understand that their child wants to drop out. After they've been notified of that, if they refuse to participate in the conversation at that point, there has to be an out. And the out is that the student can go ahead and drop out. We've decided in this institution a long time ago that our compulsory attendance age is 16. I've been told time and time again that this bill does not change that. I'm starting to feel like maybe that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to change that to 18, which we've seen that bill and we've defeated that concept many times. This is a compromise on my part, and I think on the part of a lot of us that are concerned about raising compulsory attendance to 18 to allow students and parents an out so we don't have a bunch of parents in truancy court. I would ask for your support.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109 has failed. House Bill 109 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I move third reading consent list consisting of House Bills 19, 20, 29, 71, and House Joint Resolution 8.
Representative Esquivel.
Madam Majority Whip, pursuant to the rules, I request that House Bill 20 be laid back one day.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 20 will be laid back until tomorrow. Mr. Reading Clerk, will you read the consent list bills, please?
House Bill 19, introduced by Representative Bagby, an act relating to Department of Corrections mandatory savings accounts for inmates being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 29, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to the excise tax, taxation of specified digital products, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 71, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to workers' compensation appeals, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution Number 8, introduced by Representative Davison. A joint resolution requesting Congress to oppose House Resolution 980, titled the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Bagby. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Blake. Blake. Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 19, are there any changes? Peasley, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 29, are there any changes? Illaway, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Pedersen, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 ayes, 8 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 71, are there any changes? Lubno? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 8, are there any changes? Carson? Aye to no. Connolly? Aye to no. Byrd? Aye to no. Hales? Aye to no. Jorgensen? Aye to no. Landon? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills number 19, number 29, number 71, and House Joint Resolution number 8 have passed the House. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 57.
House Bill 57, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to underground utilities, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill number 57 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
I
am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Dirks, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 5 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 57, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 57 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 101.
House Bill 101, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding electricity generated from wind taxation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Whip. Majority Whip, I should say. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 101 and ask for your consideration. House Bill 101 was amended by second reading amendment, by the second reading amendment that I'm withdrawing, asking you to withdraw. It switched the county share to 60 from 40% to 60%, the state share from 60% to 40%. And after that occurred, I got to thinking about it. When this revenue occurs, these plants, most of them, or the new ones we're talking about, have already been in operation for 3 years. So the county is already receiving all the property taxes and the various things from these facilities. Well, our concern was, are we going to help these people out? Well, this is a help out after the fact. And the other thing is that we're taking money from the general fund to counties that are being able to take a lot of development or money from this kind of a development. And it is kind of like we do with our other mineral counties. You know, they generate us a lot of revenue, and we use that to give to the poorer counties or the cities that need extra money. And so that's been kind of the formula for a long time, because we the state, the legislature, comes down here and has to fund all of these other communities as equitably as we can. But all of a sudden, we've switched this formula around and said, okay, we're going to give 60% to these counties that are already receiving the property tax from these functioning windmills, I'd like to call them, but they're not. But that's the gist of my amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd urge you to resist the amendment. We've done the debate almost to an extent that nauseates, and so vote how you like.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In appreciation of this amendment, and just from kind of a quirky little thought, over the past few years, it's been the policy of this body and this legislature to augment general fund dollars to our highway building agency. Equipment used for wind generation is all trucked into the state. Recently, we've seen some railed in, but it will be moved from that rail facility to wherever these things are constructed. And I can tell you, given the fuel tax collections and even the oversized and overweight permits that are charged for moving these in, do not mitigate the costs of damage to the highways. So, you know, if you're going to continue to augment YDOT with general fund dollars, this is a consideration.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I call the question.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 101, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 101 has failed. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 101, and I'll remove it at the appropriate time. I just think we need a little further debate on where we're going with the electricity generated from wind. It just appears to me that making legislation so that a committee will study something and not having a tax imposed for a number of years is really different legislative bill making. There is a select committee on wind. I think we ought to let it operate, do its thing. They spent,
I think, three meetings. I suspect it might have been 3 days. You came down here and saw a bill. I don't know how long the committee spent, but I suspect it was not over 2 hours on one bill. I don't think that's enough time to take a look at taxation of a new industry and then to say, we're not going to tax them for 3 years. We're going to study the bill. We're going to study it a little bit more, but we're going to have a bill because we don't believe that committee is going to do the job. To me, it's poor legislation. And I would urge the defeat of this particular piece of legislation.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I urge you to resist the amendment and pass the bill. It does demand a study. That's what we're talking about. It doesn't go in force for another year. It will be drastically changed, I'm sure. We've already started working on some of those things that we think will be included in this. It's a good way to get a good start. There is not a wind task force. We don't have one unless we pass a bill. That one went out of existence last year. It was only financed for 1 year, only meant to stay in 1 year, and they did their good work. And if indeed we reinstall that in another bill, they will do their work as well, but they'll have something to start with. Again, I guess we, just like the other, and we've debated it till we almost ran out of time, and you know all the debate. I would urge you to resist the amendment and vote aye on the bill.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to remind the body to remember the equity dimension to the debate that we had the other day. That, you know, we tax the other three major forms of energy, or generation power, and it's sending the wrong signal if we pick out one and say, well, we're going to transfer the local costs that you incur to the public, to the people that live in these counties. We don't know if this is the right amount. I think we're all pretty confident that it's too low. We just don't know how much too low it is. But we're making a kind of a policy announcement that energy generation will be taxed by the state, and these costs that are incurred is going to be defrayed by the root cause of the added local costs. We had local governments, several local governments, gave testimony that they are incurring costs. And right now they're being paid by, for these new developments, they're being paid for by general fund money that's certainly not traceable to the root cause of the cost. And I would urge that you resist this amendment number 2. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Minority Whip. Speaking in favor of House Bill 101, I would urge you to resist the amendment. What 101 brings to this floor is a construct. It's a construct of building tax legislation. It provides for a window to study. It also provides a window for startup. I ask your support.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I'd like to talk a little bit about task forces and various other things that we do. Any ideas generated from a task force is then brought to the legislature, to one of our committees. And the information that they have then is put into the form of a bill and reviewed by our committees. What this bill says is that we think we know what's already here. We've already had a task force. Let's let the committee that's going to have to carry the bill take these testimonies and put it in the form of a bill and bring it here. Task forces can't bring this kind of information to us. On and for the bill.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, for the opportunity to address the body here. I certainly rise in opposition to the amendment. One of the things that we talk about is what do the constituents think of a possible tax on the windmills. Numerous discussions have ensued over in my county because we have two large wind farms. The view shed that is being impacted, I hear that all the time. And they ask, what is the taxes that we're collecting? When we talk about property taxes, they become rather irate and say we should be taxing on generation, we should be doing other things because we are the ones that's taken kind of the view shed hits here in this regard. The commissioners in that county and talking with others support going forward with a tax concept, the best understanding I have and listening to the testimony that we had. The industry themselves knows there's going to be a tax on this because I've spoken with them when they've had public hearings in implementation of these wind farms. They know it's coming. They just hope it can happen, something that they can live with. They hope the federal tax structure can stay intact and the transmission can continue to progress so that they can convey this electric generation. So to move forward with this bill is certainly something we need to do, and I would unquestionably recommend that we vote down this amendment.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Madam Whip. I would urge your support for this amendment. I guess I would ask you to think about what we're trying to accomplish in Wyoming. You know, we can argue the production tax credit and why it's there, and that every Congress since 1992 has reinstated it. I think the original intent was that it was a pro-ag type of bill, that it was going to keep ranchers on their farm in tough times, that this was a way for them to diversify their income. I don't believe that Wyoming is going to get, it's not going to pay for our state government. It may pay for our local government in places where we have wind, and it should. This is not going to diversify and pay for our government when the coal runs out. It's just not going to do it. And we need to remember that. You know, I got a contacted by some friends I graduated with engineering college, and they said, what in the heck is Wyoming doing or thinking regarding to this tax? And these are people that are working out of state in thriving wind economies in Texas and Minnesota, and their comments were, to me, were, I'd like to come home to Wyoming and have an engineering job, high-paying job, technical job in the state. And now Wyoming is going to be forever labeled as the state that first taxed wind, the generation of it. And for the amount of money that we're going to get out of this, is it really worth that label? And I ask you to consider that when you vote on this bill.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. You know, Wyoming really is the Saudi Arabia of wind. Whether we pass this or don't pass this, whether the federal incentives are there or not, if someone wants to build a wind turbine anywhere, they're going to be looking at Wyoming. We've got wind. You know, we keep hearing about this state to the west that has a Austrian governor. What a wonderful example they are that they're not taxing their wind turbines. I don't think that's really an endorsement of that policy there. I think they have something approaching $100 billion deficit right now. So, you know, this is a small statement we're making that, you know, we are impacting our scenic resources here in Wyoming. And frankly, folks, we want someone to help pay for that impact. And therefore, you know, we need to push this. I said it before, 40 years ago, we heard the same thing about taxing oil and gas here on this floor. And we had the wisdom, or we may have had one legislator here back then, but they saw the wisdom to start a small incremental tax to get this going, and that's what we have here. So against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a quick comment. I think the good bringer of the amendment, I'm in favor of the amendment and against the bill, made an excellent point sitting on the committee that did see this bill. It wasn't a thoughtful. It was a very similar debate to one we're having here, yes or no. It wasn't into the meat and potatoes of, you know, how will this work, what's the right. We had an amendment that took it from 3 to 1, not exactly a scientific estimate. It just took it from 3 to 1. So we didn't spend a huge amount of time. There was also a mention of the task force. I don't have it in front of me, their final report, but I can paraphrase what was given to us about what they thought of taxes. And one of the things that they said very specifically was, you know, in regard to taxes, take a look at, you know, making a balance that would also incentivize jobs and keep the industry going and it's fledgling. And I just would love someone in the body to tell me what tax creates new jobs and where that tax creates new jobs. I found that humorous. So this hasn't been studied well. I'd urge you to vote against it.
Representative Brown.
Madam Chairman, how quickly we forget, how spoiled we become. 11 years ago, this state was flat, dead, broke. And it was so flat, dead, broke that I like to say, for the first time in the history of this state, it became acceptable in mixed company to discuss an income tax. That's how broke we were. And along came coal, bed, methane, gas, and I vividly remember it. In a period of about 6 months, we were rich. And we've been riding the tide ever since. How long will that last? I don't know how long it'll last. I don't know where we're headed, but I think everybody in this state ought to pay their share. And if times get tough enough again, believe me, we'll be talking about a personal income tax. And everybody ought to be paying their share at the point where our citizens have to start ponying up to that extent. So I just think it's another activity in the state and needs to pay its share. Admittedly, it's rough. It has some refinement to be made. It's not a harmful tax as it stands. It's a statement, and it's taking a position that is in the best interest of the state. So I would urge you to defend the amendment and pass the bill on to the Senate. Let's see what they can do with it.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The good representative from Laramie County sort of sparked a thought that I had. As we did go through the task force, the recommendations that we made with respect to a tax on the wind industry, it's interesting as I was reflecting back through that. One was that we encouraged that the tax be designed to encourage the development of employment opportunities for Wyoming. So perhaps gauge that tax based upon whether there is manufactured equipment in the state used on the wind farm or not. Of course, that's not in this bill. We encouraged a thoughtful discussion about whether a tax policy related to wind could sustain a competitive advantage for the state of Wyoming in the wind industry. And, of course, that has not been done. Instead, we have sort of just picked a number out of the air. We talked about conducting a careful examination of all the burdens placed on the wind energy producers. And, of course, that has not been done. And so I, again, come back to the point, there are hundreds of issues related to this tax that have not been discussed on this floor, have not been contemplated. We talk about the impact of the wind farms on the counties and making sure that the counties get those impacts, but we're going to spend another significant amount of time, hopefully over this next interim, talking about collector lines, which have a probably even greater impact on communities around the state and an impact that needs to be offset through some sort of tax structure, but we don't even look at that with respect to this tax. So I go back again to the point where we are headed in the right direction, but we are certainly not there. And we are pulling a trigger before we even aim at the target. And I think that's not probably the wisest way for us to move forward on this tax policy. So I'd vote for the amendment and against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time, Chairman Anderson.
Thank you. I appreciate the representative from Casper bringing out those things, and because we put a delayed date on those things, that's the very things we want to do with this piece of legislation. And I think those points are brought out, and that's what we want to do. And we'll get it done, in my opinion, a whole lot better if we get this thing discussed on the other end of the hall, Capitol this year, and we get busy on it and get those things done. And there's some of them already being considered as part of this, essentially a study with a start.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just think the bill is premature. I don't mind the wind industry paying taxes eventually. I mind passing a bill that will study, and we're not going to tax them for several years. I think the bill is unnecessary. The committees will study this. We're going to look at it, but it's premature in my mind. I withdraw Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 3, or to House Bill 101.
House Bill 101, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickfree.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley. Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 40 ayes, 18 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 101, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 101 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. Ladies and gentlemen, after the lunch recess, we'll come back. Obviously, we'll get into general file. If you've got a bill on there right now, be ready to go at any time. We're going to have some shuffling this afternoon, and we're going to kind of be under the gun the next 2 days. So with that, I move that the House recess until 2 p.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. We are recessed until 2 p.m. Committee announcements.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee, Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now, and I urge everybody to get up there now. And we're going to hear House Bill 128, Health Insurance Interstate Purchase, House Bill 34, Referendum on Adopted Ordinance, House Bill 39, Insurance Benefits, Usual and Customary, and if there's time, Senate File 4, Special District Elections, and Senate File 5, Engrossed, Special District's Public Records.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 2 will not have a meeting at noon. Thank you.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., your committee number 1, Judiciary, will hear Senate File 19, DUI Impairment, and Senate File 8, Medical Support of Children.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. There will be no Minerals Committee meeting tomorrow morning, and may I have the privilege for another announcement. There is a luncheon downstairs in the Herschler Building hosted by Leadership Cheyenne. You're all welcome. You should have gotten a notice and a yellow copy on your desk.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. Your House Committee Number 4, Education, will meet Friday upon noon recess. That's noon recess. In room H10 to take up the following bills, Senate File 41 engrossed, Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program, and Senate File 42, School Finance, Student Enrichment Instruction.
Chairman Childers.
Madam Majority Whip, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow to consider the following bills. Senate File 10, Engrossed, State Parks, Bear River State Park. Senate File 11, State Park Acquisition and Disposition of Lands. And Senate File 12, Engrossed, State Parks and Historic Sites, Boundaries and Designations.
Thank you, Chairman Childers. Any other announcements? The House will stand in recess until 2 o'clock p.m.